This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, conservative icon, and the author of more than 20 books, including The Supremacist, Turbo Reader, and the revealing new book, The Flip Side of Feminism. And now, here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
We usually hear a noisy outcry on the left at any suggestion of requiring a photo ID for voting. But you may be surprised to learn that some other democracies regard them as a necessity. Just look at Mexico, where the Federal Electoral Institute issues citizens a free photo ID known as a voter credential. The system was put in place 20 years ago as a response to widespread voter fraud in Mexican elections. Rules are very strict, and no exceptions are made for those who arrive at the polls without their ID. The agency makes no apologies for this. They say the system is necessary to restore confidence in elections after years of corruption. In the United States, you need a photo ID to drive a car, to check into a hotel, or to rent a movie. But we're told we cannot require photo IDs for voting. Liberals claim that photo ID laws would decrease voter turnout and create a burden for the poor. However, neither of these things has happened in Mexico. In fact, the free IDs have been beneficial to the country's poor because they now have identification they need for other situations. That's why former Atlanta mayor and civil rights activist Andrew Young supports voter ID laws in the U.S. so that poor minorities are provided with the ID they need to fully participate in American life. Mexico's laws have also increased confidence in the fairness of elections and thus increased voter turnout. A similar increase in voter turnout happened in Indiana and Georgia when those states implemented photo ID laws. If we don't require a photo ID at our U.S. polls, that doesn't make it any easier for people to vote. It just makes it easier for people to cast a fraudulent vote.
Are you a college student eager to stand up for your conservative beliefs and stand against liberal ideologies? Do you want to build a network with other conservative students? Don't miss the annual Eagle Forum Collegian Summit, July 18 and 19 in Washington, D.C. It's free to students who register in advance. Go to eagleforum.org and click on Collegians. That's eagleforum.org. And join us again for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Do you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com.
Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today. Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and, in some instances, your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the sunny suburbs of Chicago. Today, August 6, 2013, is the 68th anniversary of the bombing of Hiroshima, the whole truth of which the U.S. government has heavily censored and mythologized ever since warrior Americans celebrated VJ Day 10 days later. I really appreciate you joining me today for on RBN for people who can't handle the truth. RBN's website is republicbroadcasting.org. You have noticed the new format, no doubt. RBN is now associated with Cumulus Media Network Satellite Services, which will provide 24/7 satellite channel to RBN through XDS. This network has provided these receivers to more than 4,000 stations, and each affiliate now has the capacity to pick up any RBN program. To see the guest lineup and relevant links for this program, please visit Spingola.com. Another site that I wish to call your attention to is SpingolaSpeaks.info, created by one of our listeners. During the program, email your questions or comments to comment@Spingola.com. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website, Spingola.com, or by going to Spingola.chatango.com. We will take calls in the second hour after we open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. Our guest today is Dr. Nicholas Kollerstrom. His website is whatreallyhappened.info. In 1999, the New York Academy of Sciences elected Dr. Nicholas Kollerstrom as a member. At that time, he was working at the Science and Technology Studies Department at the University College in London, from where he obtained his PhD. In 2008, the university dismissed him from his position because of his revisionist views. He had published a couple of articles scrutinizing the chemical evidence for how residual cyanide could be in the walls of Auschwitz, and showed how and where they had used Cyclone, which is a hydrogen cyanide in granular form. And that is what they used in the gas chambers. Alrighty. And last year, he met some fellow revisionists in Britain, and they created the website. And it's a wonderful website, and I hope that all of you will go there. Good afternoon. It's early evening there. Good day.
Yes, thank you, Diana, and thank you for the excellent summary of what happened to me. That's very, very, very exact and true what you said. And perhaps, if you like, Diana, I could just make a link with Holocaust, with the Hiroshima Day today, August the 6th, and August the 9th was the bombing of Nagasaki. And just in between that was August the 7th, 8th, was the London Declaration in 1946 about the whole Nuremberg Judgment. Nuremberg trials had taken place, and the judgment was passed against the Nazis in between those two bombings. And the whole city bombing of Britain and America was totally omitted from the Nuremberg trials when they were defining the crimes, you know. And the defeated Nazis were made to confess to this huge monster crime of the gas chambers and were executed. So I think there's a kind of connection here with rather dire connection of Hiroshima Day with what we're talking about here.
Oh, absolutely. And while we were busy focusing on those bombings in Japan, they were doing other things that they didn't want us to focus on too much at all.
Hmm.
Right? Do you think it was a distraction? Or they used it as a distraction?
Well, it's weirdly appropriate that in between those two genocidal acts,
yes,
they would pass a total judgment damning the Nazis for this new crime they'd brewed up, war of aggression.
It is pretty ironic.
And totally omitting what they had done. They wanted the moral high ground. That was a reason why Britain and America made this whole Holocaust story to damn the Germans so they could be forever the bad guys. And we would never really have to discuss why World War II took place. Once you have the image of, you know, 6 million Jews gassed for no particular reason by the wicked Nazis, then you have an image of pure ultimate evil, which has coloured the whole post-war civilization. And it means that you don't really have to discuss why World War II took place. You know, you don't have to have real historical discussion of it because you've got this slightly comic book concept of pure evil.
Right. And of course, then you wouldn't look at all the cities that the Allies bombed and all the people that they killed and all of the rest of the things that happened that really did happen that were really genocidal.
Yeah, these really did happen. In many ways, the Jews were lucky to have been flushed out of German cities and put into labor camps as part of the final solution, which was basically an export program to flush them out eastwards. I think in many ways they were more fortunate than had they remained in the cities, which got incinerated. You know,
exactly. So you, up until 2008, the university considered you a pretty decent person.
Yes, I had a couple of dozen articles published, history, astronomy journals, and it was a nice safe perch. People wonder, why did I do this? Because I became the most, suddenly I found myself the most heavily vilified character in Britain with newspapers and journals and websites damning me. And friends hardly able to speak to me because of the dreadful thing I'd done. And I was trying to ascertain what was so terrible. Basically, my mother was a chemist, so I always liked chemical arguments. And I found that these two young men, Fred Leuchter and Germar Rudolph, had gone out to Poland and had chipped away without official permission off the walls of these old labor camps and the walls where it was alleged that these terrific human gas chambers had existed. And for comparison, they'd also chipped away at other walls, like kitchens and bathrooms and so on, where there wasn't any allegation of cyanide having been used. And they'd also chipped away at the buildings which have been very much written out of history, which are the little delousing chambers. Now, these were normal hygiene technology. Once the epidemic of typhus broke out in the middle of 1942, this disease is carried by bugs, by lice, and you have to delouse all clothing. And the way to do it then was with hydrogen cyanide. It's still a very effective way of doing it. So all clothing and all mattresses were put into the little delousing chambers, which were quickly installed throughout all the German labor camps in 1942. And many tons of Zyklon started being shipped out to the German labor camps. And the question is, how were they used? As I see it, this is a philosophical question. It's not a political question at all. They have political implications. It's a philosophical question concerning what you think is real. Was this hydrogen cyanide used in chambers to save lives by delousing clothing and it killed bugs? Or was it used to take lives in huge human gas chambers which had 1 or 2,000 people stuffed into it at a time and they all quickly died in 20 minutes? As Rudolf Hoss declared at Nuremberg, which of those took place? And I like the chemical argument, Diana, the chemical argument whereby wherever cyanide was used, it was very absorbent. It soaked right up into the walls in all the chambers where it was used, and it bonded with the iron. That's the surprising thing. That's the surprising twist in the story. So 70 years later, it's still there. Wherever the cyanide was used, you've got iron cyanide there in the walls, and all you've got to do is go and measure it. And that's what these chaps did. And Fred Leuchter, Gemma Rudolph, they measured it, and they were surprised that in both cases their careers were completely terminated by the measurement, and even the chemistry labs that did the measurement without realising what it was. They got sort of totally sort of done over, and they found a vast differential between the very high levels of iron cyanide in the little delousing chambers and the very low levels everywhere else. And what all the big Holocaust textbooks said were the human gas chambers did not have any significant elevation of iron and cyanide in the walls above that of normal background levels.
Amazing. Alrighty, we are going to a 3-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract! A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept! That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
The five self-evident truths of the Declaration of Independence are the standing definition of our republican form of government. Each unalienable right has an attached duty because we are all created equal. Like the right, the duty is permanent and non-transferable. There can be no paper to lien the right and no paper to waive the duty. Deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed does not mean if you can think of it, you can consent to it. Truly, it names a condition where a right must be held without violation of its duty by both parties who can then consent. Our grand jury has been destroyed without the consent or the right. Return the grand jury customarily impaneled by the elected county sheriff and one where people can appear with information. McGilvery Machine Company, Reading, Michigan. Innovative research and development of prototype industrial equipment since 1988.
John Stettmiller here. Gives me great pleasure to welcome our new sponsor, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. They are a veteran-owned, Christian-based preparedness company. I know the owner and I can tell you they share the same ideals and values that we do. From quality long-term food to self-defense and camping supplies, they have what you need to prepare. Great wholesale pricing, quality products, the best customer service. You just can't go wrong. One example, they have a one-year food package that includes GMO-free vegetables and fruits, plus real meat like roast beef and chicken breast. Over 2,000 calories a day for $19.95. Not your run-of-the-mill carb bucket like a lot of them out there. From stun guns, batons, tents, gas masks, chemical suits, the list goes on and on. One thing you'll learn over time is value is defined by quality plus price. You get that value with AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Tell them that John sent you and receive a free knife with your order today.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Dr. Nicholas Colostrum. His website is whatreallyhappened.info. I hope that you will all go there. There is just so many resources, so much information there. And please tell your friends to visit that website also. All righty, so Cyclone was really not capable of killing people anyway.
I would tend to agree, Diane. I don't think there's any evidence for people being cyanide gassed in the German labor camps at all. Zyklon was made to be safe for human use. That's the point. If it's warmed gently, cyanide gas comes off slowly. In the delousing chambers, these were quite safe to use. I mean, the confession everyone, all the world came to believe after the war, Rudolf Voss, he'd been savagely tortured for 3 days and three nights. He was the commandant of the Auschwitz camp, okay, the commandant until 43. And he confessed to it, to this nightmare hallucination. And I think the confession was first written out in English by his guards and then translated into German. And he confessed to it. But it's a nightmare hallucination. I don't believe any such mass gas chambers have ever existed on planet Earth. They're just a hallucination. Let's also note, Diana, that there were two gases that Nuremberg alleged mass gassing of people. One was cyanide, the other was carbon monoxide from diesel exhaust, okay?
Now, which is also very ridiculous.
Also very ridiculous, yeah, because diesel exhaust is not lethal. It hasn't got enough carbon monoxide in it to gas people. You might have thought they'd have got their science right at Nuremberg, but they didn't, right? That they thought, oh, these wicked Germans, they used diesel gas, and we know that the petrol we're using can be lethal, so let's claim that they gas people with diesel exhaust. Well, it turns out that the characteristic feature of diesel is it burns up all the carbon, and you have not got carbon monoxide to be capable of killing anybody. It just gives you a very nasty headache. So the whole bottom dropped out. People realised some decades later, actually, this diesel couldn't be lethal. So that really knocked the bottom out. As you say, it's quite ridiculous. But also, let's notice what these two gases have in common. Carbon monoxide and cyanide, they both kill by depriving the body of oxygen, and in both cases you end up with a pink corpse. This is a key feature of cyanide poisoning and of carbon monoxide poisoning, that in the final struggle of the body, as oxygen is denied, you end up pink, and there's not a single account of a pink corpse anywhere in Nuremberg, anywhere in a German labor camp in World War II, okay? There were what I would say, rather fraudulent accounts, often had bluish haze around the bodies, right? Piles of corpses with bluish in colour because they thought Zyklon Blue, you know, Blau.
Sure.
Zyklon B. Well, actually, if it's called Zyklon B for Blau, that is because of the bluish tint which you get in the walls. What we discussed earlier, the iron cyanide in the walls, that does go blue, and there's a lovely blue hue in the delousing chambers that you can see today. Tourists can see today. If they want to go to the delousing chambers at Auschwitz and Birkenau, they can see the blue colour, lovely turquoise blue of the ferrocyanide. But you really don't get that in corpses. I think this, the actual coloration of pink, which cyanide would produce, as likewise of carbon monoxide, I think that's a very clinching argument that we can use and which we should use about the nature of the imposture that was given to the world at Nuremberg.
Right, and of course Nuremberg was used to give credibility to everything that the Allies were trying to claim that the Germans did, and of course everything, the court was stacked, the people who were torturing or interrogating the prisoners they had a certain agenda that they needed to.
Definitely, a certain agenda. It was a military tribunal. You see,
right?
Germans might have thought there could be some justice or debasing both sides, which you normally get in a tribunal, but a military tribunal meant that here's the agenda, here's what you have to confess to if you want to stay alive, and that's it, and then they're executed. It was a tribunal in which these monstrous accusations were made. And also the 6 million figure turned up at Nuremberg. That was one of the most dramatic things that happened. The tremendous success was probably getting the Rudolf Voss confession after he'd been thoroughly tortured. But also one of the more spectacular achievements was the 6 million Jews figure, which they used without in any sense whatever counting the dead in World War II.
Now, didn't they introduce that 6 million figure? Didn't Jackson introduce that in his introductory remarks?
I think he might have done, yeah. But what's interesting is the 6 million figure begins right at the end of the 19th century, and it starts being used about, for the first 20 years of the 20th century, the 6 million Jew figure, it's always in Europe. 6 million Jews in trouble, in danger, likely to be wiped out, or being wiped out, or who need to be rescued. And there's a whole lot of newspaper headlines. It comes from America. It's brewed up by American Jews as a fundraising stunt, and there's a book available which has recently summarized all these. I've got a couple of hundred newspaper headlines. The book is called Don Hildesheim, The First Holocaust, Jewish Fundraising Campaigns with Holocaust Claims During and After World War One. You see these coming again and again. And initially it's Russia, what's happening in Russia, Jews allegedly endangered in Russia. Then in the 1930s, it focuses to Germany and Hitler. And 6 million Jews in danger there, 6 million Jews being wiped out, and so forth. And then it dramatically ends up at Nuremberg as 6 million Jews dead who have been killed. So this is a mantra. Mantra keeps going right through the 20th century, and it ends up in Nuremberg.
Now, the name of that book, is that the one by Hildesheim?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, that's a very good book. Tremendous book.
I could perhaps throw in that I think the number of 6 million Jews is absolutely real and quite important, and we should understand it. It is the actual number of Jews who have claimed, mainly Jews, claimed reparations as Holocaust survivors from Germany. Okay? Germany has paid a huge amount of money after World War II in Holocaust reparations. I think, as far as I can tell, they've paid about 100 billion Deutschmarks altogether. Of these 6 million Jews who have claimed reparations, and as they've alleged to be Holocaust survivors, about 4 million of them have actually been paid, right? And just for comparison, as a rough figure, the best estimate I could give, total number of Jews who were in areas ever occupied by the Nazis in World War II, that is around about 3 million. So the number of Jews who claim to be Holocaust survivors is far larger, and have gained this financial compensation, far larger than the number of Jews who were in areas occupied by Nazis. And they claim to be living testimonies to the horror of the Holocaust, you know. But actually, by the sheer number, they're living refutations of the whole story.
Right. Now, there were some people left Germany, left Europe, came over to the United States, who claimed, simply because they were living during that period of time, they could have been living in Miami Beach, and yet they claimed that they were Holocaust survivors.
Yeah. Well, exactly. As I said, it's huge numbers. The epicenter where Jews lived up until World War II was East Europe. And now, since then, they had a huge diaspora, moved out to America and Israel. Okay. I mean, nobody can ever answer the question, how many Jews died in World War II? Because of all this huge diaspora we're talking about, and the terrific shifting of national boundaries, say Poland completely changed its boundaries. So you can't do that sum of count the total number of Jews who died. You just can't. What you can do is look at official figures for the number of people who died in the German labor camps. There are several reliable sources for that if you wanted to see that figure.
All right, we are going to a quick commercial break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors. Annoying collection calls.
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now. 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide provide you with resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. TerraVim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from TerraVim? Simple. TerraVim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to TerraVim.com. That's TerraVim.com. TerraVim, the best supplements on earth.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. LifeStraw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. LifeStraw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. LifeStraw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing LifeStraw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
That's K-O-L-L-E-R-S-T-R-O-M. The website is whatreallyhappened.info. And please go there and look at all of these wonderful links that he has. Fabulous website. Lots of wonderful information here.
Well, glad you like it, Diane. Glad you like it. We try to stimulate calm reason debate rather than abuse and insult. You know, that's the purpose of our website, to open up discussion and free thought on the matter and get away from this name calling. That was our reason for setting it up.
Well, that's wonderful. Do you find that people are still criticizing you for what you're doing for your revisionist activities?
Well, most of the time, it was as if something so shocking has happened that people couldn't bring themselves to speak about it. I feel people still have sort of padlocked minds And if you try and talk about it, they say, oh, keep off that awful subject. And yet you are judged for it. It's as if people have to believe something about what they call the Holocaust. They all have to believe it. And yet it's somehow so awful that they can't bring themselves to discuss it. And I'm saying, hey, look, this is quite an interesting subject. I really like this investigation of how cyanide was used in World War II, for example. Or I really like this data from British intelligence decrypts made from Bletchley Park in World War II about how the German labour camps were carrying on. I'm saying I think this is an interesting story and interesting data. Can we please talk about it?
Absolutely. And, that was my next question. Would you please tell us about the decrypts? Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Oh, right. Yeah. But just to finish, I mean, it's terribly upsetting for me. I belong for years what called itself the 9/11 truth movement. In Britain, in London, and a whole lot of wonderful people discuss what really happened on 9/11 and all that sort of stuff, you know, what's happening to the world, what are the Illuminati doing, all this kind of stuff. And yet, that they, I'm absolutely told, no, sorry, we cannot touch that subject, it's absolutely forbidden. And I'm rather puzzled that there should be something as important as this, which people don't allow themselves to discuss, you know.
Even people who are looking for the truth about another event, they are not open-minded enough to evaluate some of the scientific evidence, and there certainly has been a lot of evidence. And you mentioned two people, Fred Leuchter and Germar Rudolph, two very, very wonderful people who sacrificed a lot to bring people the truth.
Anyway, Diana, let's move on to your question about the British intelligence decrypts. Now, these were taken by intercepting by a very clever British code breaking at Bletchley Park, this Enigma code breaker. And the historians all like talking about how we found out where the Nazi submarines were. We were able to, you know, win the war. Churchill could win the war because of this information about where the Nazi submarines. And yet, historians are strangely silent about all the information which is gleaned from the German labor camps, over a whole year, 1942 to 1943. By this same process, and these were eventually made public in the mid 1990s, and they're now at a place called the Public Record Office in London, and there they all are. And why aren't any historians interested? We've only had one historian in this country interested, and that was Irving, David Irving, and he gets utterly ethically damned. People look very, very shocked if you even mention his name. He gave this kind of honest account of what they actually show, and he's the only historian who has. Basically, the main view came from sort of Jewish historians who were forced to apologize that somehow British intelligence had failed to notice the Holocaust, had failed to realize that it was going on, and how could they have been so unobservant? Because the fact is that these British intelligence decrypts, which all sorts of messages from the camps, do not show anything resembling what people call the Holocaust, okay? Jews are they're a minority in the camps, they're not a majority, and they're referred to in a quite respectful manner for their various skills and how their skills can be optimally used. And there's no hint of anything resembling what people want to believe about the Holocaust. If you like, I could describe what they do show. Shall I just outline it? Or?
Oh, absolutely, please, yes.
Yeah. Right, well, the big catastrophe strikes in August 1942 when typhus epidemic hits the camps, and suddenly in 1 month you get a 30% mortality. 30% all the men in Auschwitz die in 1 month, and that's a terrible high figure, and it becomes a kind of hell on earth with all these diseases breaking out: dysentery, typhus, typhoid epidemics. And it's a truly hellish experience with these plagues and diseases breaking out.
And there was a reason for those plagues and diseases breaking out, right?
Wasn't it
because of the Allied bombing?
I think it was, yes. Allied bombing was destroying the infrastructure and stopping food and amenities from getting to the camps. But also I think some Poles introduced this typhus, deliberately introduced this typhus, trying to get the guards, and it spread throughout all the camps, or especially Auschwitz. And so you get top-level directives, extremely urgent. Mortality simply must be reduced. So you get what is called the special treatment, a German word for special treatment, and as a protocol that is swiftly introduced. Swiftly they start installing the delousing chambers, and the protocol is that everyone arriving at the camps has to be shaved, the clothes are taken off, the clothes are deloused, they're put through showers, and that is endlessly repeated. And we've been able to show, through looking at the primary source data, how the mortality does gradually drop down. And then a year later, August 1943, you've got a figure of only 3% mortality of deaths at Auschwitz in 1 month. So that's a factor of 10. The great struggle to reduce mortality by improved hygiene and also improved diet and nutrition, that does work, okay? Now, you may ask yourself, from that struggle to reduce mortality, how did you get what people, how did you get the story of the final solution, which is the idea of people being through mass gassing and then incinerated? Well, it's like a horror story waiting to happen, in a sense. Imagine that you're at Auschwitz, you hear stories about gas chambers, and you don't quite know what they are. And also, as well as gas chambers, cremation ovens had to be introduced, because the ground at Auschwitz was too damp to bury anyone, okay? The high water table meant that all the water would be poisoned and polluted if you start burying any bodies there. You wouldn't have any drinking water. So all the bodies that die have to be incinerated. So loads of cremation ovens are installed, which burn bodies one at a time. And that happens together with the delousing. It was the kind of nightmare hallucination was that huge cyanide gas chambers existed, and then the bodies were cremated. And there's all sorts of maths and physical calculations you can do to show this is impossible. For example,
right.
You've got
they would still be doing it right now. I mean, they would there's no way they could have done that.
No, I mean, for example, there's figures of the coke that was used for the ovens, about 600 tons altogether of coke used for all the cremation ovens at Auschwitz over a two-year period. And you can count, you know how much
what
it
happened?
Costs, how much coke it uses.
I'd be it's having quite some Skype issues here.
Oh. Can you hear me all right?
Oh, you kind of blanked out there. Well, you didn't,
oh, right.
But Skype did.
Yeah. All right. Okay, so so the hygiene technology worked. That is the important emphasis. And the other thing these decrypts, British intelligence decrypts, show is the way in which all sorts of industries were being developed and used, and every effort was made from 1942 onwards to get useful work out of the inmates. That was the purpose of the Auschwitz camp, right? Initially, the idea might have just been to flush out Jews eastwards, but once they were in the camps, the primary directive from 1942 onwards was to get useful industrial work out of them, right? So
right.
there were military armament factories around Auschwitz, and the inmates had to go out every day to do work in these factories, and that's what the place was for. So it wouldn't have made any sense to start exterminating them, because if you do that, you obviously can't get useful work out of them.
Right.
They had to be treated decently. I mean, you've got the vast Monowitz plant, vast industrial plant Monowitz, and Dana, you try to find any book, any mention of that or what it was for. I mean, I can tell you what it was for. It was to get oil out of coal or coke, right?
The
Nazi war machine ran on oil produced by this vast chemical plant that cleverly extracted it, catalytic conversion from coal. Likewise, rubber. They were getting rubber they used for the German war machine by a new chemistry they developed there, getting it out of synthesizing it. And such things as this, that was what people did at Auschwitz.
Right. All righty. We are going to a break. Well, we will be right back.
That moment of panic. Sheer terror, really. You're afraid to answer the phone. Frightened by who might be at the door. If you're facing foreclosure or being harassed by debt collectors, you know the feeling. You need to visit whatliesinyourdebt.com to turn the tables on the banksters, collection agencies, and other crooks. Whatliesinyourdebt.com has solutions. Whatliesinyourdebt.com features live training webinars from experts, a member forum, support from experts who've been where you are right now and came out the other side in a better financial situation. If you are like millions of Americans who are behind on their mortgage, behind on their credit cards, or just being harassed by debt collectors, then this system is for you. We promise. If you cannot stop your foreclosure, even if it's imminent, if you cannot stop those debt collectors from bugging you, if you cannot clean up your credit, and finally, if you cannot make a few $1,000s during the entire process, make money from the debt collectors, yes, at whatliesinyourdebt.com, we will refund your money 100% in the first 60 days. Don't fear the bill collectors anymore. Visit whatliesinyourdebt.com.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay. All the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley. An area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species. All gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with hawthorn, glucosamine chondroitin, sea cucumber, colloidal minerals, superfam and super male plex, colon enhancer, our top selling liquid, cow mag vitamin D, MSM sulfur capsules, and elderberry power capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Our guest today is Dr. Nicholas Kahlerstrom. His website is whatreallyhappened.info. And just the fact that they could develop these synthetics, rubber and oil, just the fact that they could do that, particularly in times of war, of course they did it out of necessity, but it is commentary on their ingenuity.
Oh, yes. I mean, the Germans were the chemists of Europe, Dinah. And I mean, if they had wished to gas people, they could have done it with carbon monoxide from these huge industrial plants, would have done it swiftly and easily, you know. That would have made sense. The idea of using Zyklon makes no sense whatever. I mean, there's absolutely no documents indicating, any Nazi documents, an intention to exterminate a race. There are no Nazi documents of an intention to build human gas chambers. No Nazi documents of any record of these having functioned. I mean, historians who claim this happened are reduced to some kind of ESP-type argument that the whole thing happened by mutual consent without anything being put in writing. Well, that really isn't the way the Germans do things. You know, they're very thorough and methodical and careful. The idea that all this very bizarre, unheard-of technology for mass extermination happened without any record on paper just doesn't make any sense. Tourists who go to these German labor camps, there's absolutely nothing resembling a human gas chamber you can see. They're just sort of some shattered remains, which of what are probably morgues, either morgues or washrooms or shower units that people claim were human gas chambers. And, of course, there is the tourist reconstructed one at Auschwitz, built by Stalin after the war in 1946, a long room with huge holes in the ceiling, you know, get the message, this is where the Zyklon was bored through. And about 30 million people are said to have tramped through that. And for the Germans, that's just part of the tourist industry, you know.
Right, and it is a huge industry, as you point out, and as the
huge,
professor
yeah.
points out, Norman Finkelstein, which he got in trouble for talking about the Holocaust
yeah,
industry.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? Yeah.
Yes. Seems it's everybody that talks
racket.
About it gets in trouble.
Total racket, and there's 10 different nations right across the middle of Europe where it's a crime to doubt it, okay? If I was having this conversation in any of those 10 nations, I'd go to jail. let's hope and pray that Britain and America stay without any such thought crime law, Diana. I think it's terribly important that we're privileged to live in countries where doubt is not a crime. And
right.
we both have, both countries which have an honourable tradition of science, okay? Science is rational inquiry. And to have science existing at all, you've got a doubt. You can't have science without doubt, okay? All these countries now, Poland, Germany, France, Hungary and so forth, where they've made it a crime to doubt the Holocaust, it means nobody can write real history.
Exactly, which is a crime in and of itself.
Yeah.
Amazing. Alrighty, back to the decrypts. Now, these were this was evidence, and yet the British government had these decoded communications.
Yeah. Yeah,
and yet they are supporting the official version of the Holocaust.
Well, yeah, as well as those decrypts, we got a nice message in 1943 from the head of British intelligence to his American counterpart saying, please don't include any story of gas chambers in your anti-German propaganda, because we're not sure about this. We think it might just be propaganda. You see, in World War One. There was a massive non-stop barrage of British intelligence atrocity stories. And after the war, it turned out that none of these were true, not a single bloody one. OK, and people were wondering then with the atrocity stories in World War II. And in 1942, the BBC started broadcasting the mass gassing stories in Poland. OK, that's when it began on the BBC. And people were wondering, is this just more British atrocity propaganda or where does it come from? And I think it was only about 1944 that British intelligence finally started believing its own propaganda and accepted these stories. And that, of course, became canonical and compulsory at the Nuremberg trials. People had to believe them. Yeah.
Right. The British were behind a lot of black propaganda. I mean, they had people who could speak German who were broadcasting via the BBC.
Yeah.
To the German soldiers, trying to make them get discouraged over the war and all kinds of things. And
yeah.
they were masters at this. And when you're talking about gassing in World War One, Churchill was in favor of gassing. In fact, they used gas against some of the people in the Ottoman Empire.
Yeah, yeah, Kurds in Iraq, yeah. And yet, in his post-war account, five volumes of World War II, he had no mention of the Holocaust at all. Likewise, Eisenhower, his memoirs, no mention of the Holocaust. Likewise, Charles de Gaulle in France, no mention of the Holocaust. Likewise, the big International Red Cross, the whole statement about all its visits to Auschwitz, no mention of the Holocaust.
Right. And yet they wouldn't let them in the camps in London, the London cage. They wouldn't let the Red Cross in when they were, where they were torturing Germans.
Right. Oh, I hadn't heard that. Yeah. Sounds very likely, yes. If I could come back to the decrypts, though, because these are so interesting. They also give you the numbers at the camps, okay? And they give you the number who arrived and who left each day. So you've got daily comes and goings and numbers. And you've got, for example, Auschwitz, you've got up to about 20,000 people living in the camps. You then get an indication of how they broke down. There were Russians, Poles, German political prisoners, and Jews. Those are the four categories, okay? And we can compare these with what are called the death books, which are also very interesting because this is totally reliable. These were captured by the Soviets when they liberated the Auschwitz camp, and they were kept secret, and they were finally published in the mid-90s in three volumes. And this gives all the records of deaths at Auschwitz from the actual camp itself, okay? And you've got a total over the years of 29,000 Jews died. And you've got about in the region of 60,000.
This has been declared an illegal.
And that's about 40% of the total deaths. You've got more Catholics die than Jews in the death books at Auschwitz. And you have not got anybody recorded as being gassed. They give the causes of deaths, okay? In the death books. Now, I suggest that those figures from the death books, which are released by Gorbachev in 1989 and have now been published, these are totally authentic. You can push them up a bit. You can say, oh, this or that death book is missing, or, oh, they didn't do that year properly. But I don't think you're going to get more than 40,000 Jews having died from the estimates given in those death books of Auschwitz, okay?
So what do you say about all of these people who are supposed eyewitnesses? And actually, when you look at it, there weren't that many, but, original sources, you have a few books, mostly kind of like novels, like the doctor's eyewitness account.
Masses of them, aren't there? Yeah,
right.
Masses of eyewitnesses. Well, there was a very good account by a pathologist sent by the U.S. Army called Larson, Charles Larson. He was a famous pathologist in America. And so the U.S. Army sent their top pathologist over to Dresden, to Dachau and to Auschwitz. Sorry, not Dresden, Dachau and Auschwitz, to find out what were these piles of stiffs, what they died of. And he said they died of famine and typhus. Okay? That was the top army. And he wouldn't budge. And he said later on, he made a statement, there was never a case of poison gas uncovered. Okay, now your question, so I think that, and again, so there's a book published about him. I think that's totally authentic testimony. But I think your question is slightly different. After the war, were there any eyewitness accounts of people who had genuinely seen gas chambers or people being gassed? I think that's what you're asking me.
Right.
There was a famous trial in Toronto with Ernst Zundel. When a trial is, in a sense, the only public occasion in our civilization where revisionists get to talk and their voice can be publicly heard, okay? That's when they're being tried and prosecuted and found guilty and put into jail.
We are going to a break. We will be we'll be back at 6 minutes after the hour. So this is a little bit longer break.
John Stepman.